This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Broadcasting from the Cubs convention at the Sheraton Grand Chicago, it's Matt Spiegel on 670 The Score, a Radio.com sports station.
It is indeed 670 The Score. Spiegel here with you, solo for another hour, our final hour from the Cubs convention, where the coverage has been brought to you by Tito's Handmade Vodka, America's original craft vodka. After me on The Score, I think some CBS Sports Radio, and then boom, right to the NFC Championship game in New Orleans. The 1 and 2 seeds from the NFC. The Saints are favored by 3 points. That game will kick off at about 2:05 Eastern time at the Mercedes-Benz Superdome in New Orleans. After that, kicking off at about 5:40 p.m. Eastern time at Arrowhead Stadium in Kansas City, it's the Patriots and the Chiefs 1 and 2 in the AFC. And that a rematch of a game in Week 6, 43-40 between those two teams. Man, if we get Chiefs and Rams, that'll be a matchup of, what, the third highest scoring game in NFL history, that Monday nighter that they had. It's these four offenses are absolutely outrageous. So the obvious point to think about is, yeah, Bears need to score more points. Yeah, of course, that would be good. That would be very, very good to score more points. These are 1, 2, 3, and 4 in terms of scoring in the NFL. The only one under 30 is the Patriots at 27.3. But I wanted to ask you and talk about these games a little bit. So football fans, huddle up like they taught you to do at the School for the Deaf. You know that's where they invented the huddle, right? You know that's how the huddle was invented, was the football team at the School for the Deaf, the famous one, which is eluding me. But they came up with the huddle because they needed to sign language to each other to get ready for the play at hand. And everybody's like, oh, yeah, that's a good idea. We got to do that. Let's all. I think Mary Katzenberg, School for the Deaf. I do believe that's it. Or no, maybe it's Gallaudet. Gallaudet, School for the Deaf. But that's not why I called. I called to talk to you, Bears fans and football fans, and ask you about these four teams today. The Rams, the Saints, the Chiefs, and the Patriots. What do they have that the Bears don't have? As you think about the Bears' season, as you think about how it ended, as you think about what Matt Nagy and what Ryan Pace had to say and their state of the Bears' union last week, what do these four teams have that the Bears do not? And can it be acquired in one offseason? Or is it something more abstract than that? I want to talk about that with you. Phone lines are open at 312-644-6767. You can text me at 67011, as some folks have been. You can always tweet me at MattSpiegel670. But what do these teams have? What's the first thing that you think of as you look at these teams? Because the best two defenses in the playoffs, the Bears and the Baltimore Ravens, were both first-round outs. Now, the Ravens had a very awkward game offensively. I could not believe that John Harbaugh didn't go to Joe Flacco at some point during the game. That was just amazing to me that he didn't. Then Lamar Jackson got it together late and rallied and put up some points, but it was too little too late and a frenzy, yada, yada. The Bears have a better offense, a better NFL-style offense, a more realistic NFL-style offense than the Ravens do. But either way, both defenses, both the best defense in the playoffs, gone. Now, here are these four with the best offenses left. 312-644-6767 is the phone number. What do they have that the Bears do not? Several texts coming in, but I'll give you my first one that I think about. And that is a malleable offense that can run the ball when they must. And I mean from game plan to final gun. I don't mean in week 16 deciding, you know what, I think I will lean on Jordan Howard. You know what, I think I will give him some runs with the quarterback under center that are not option plays. You know what, I think I will. Maybe every once in a while I'll give him a fullback and we'll go I formation. Or either way, I'm going to let Jordan Howard run without having to pause, without having to think about what he should be doing and what might happen and whether he's going to get the ball or not. Man, just remember the Vikings game when they finally decided to do it. They finally decided to do it with that personnel and the quarterback under center with Jordan Howard. It was 14 carries for 87 yards under center. It was better for him. And I know it's weird because the previous years in the NFL, he'd been the best running back in the NFL out of shotgun. But I guess those were different kinds of plays than the read option and the RPOs, especially that Matt Nagy and Mitch Trubisky were running, because it always seemed like Jordan Howard was delaying just a little bit, that he wasn't really hitting the line of scrimmage with a head of steam. And then all of a sudden, when they just ran the ball on definitive run plays without any option component to it, he found his comfort zone. These offenses that are in the NFL, they run the ball. Three of them are in the top six in running the ball in the NFL. And I know you think of the Saints and the Rams and the Patriots as having explosive passing games, and they do. They can. But they run the hell out of the ball. Look what the Rams have done with C.J. Anderson and Todd Gurley together in games. C.J. Anderson filling in for Gurley. You got to be able to. The Chiefs are not in the top six, but they're a freaking video game with a quarterback who's thrown 50 touchdowns and thrown for 5,000 yards. They're an absurd video game. It's the best scheme in the NFL being played by the best young quarterback in the NFL at an absurd level all year. They might need their running game today. Will they be able to do it when it matters? It's a huge question and a huge part of that game. So that's the first one for me, is not just a good offense, not just an offense that scores more than where the Bears were, but malleable from the get-go. And maybe that means concentrating on one specific personnel grouping. I saw that somewhere as well. You know, the Rams play the most out of 11 personnel as any team in the NFL. Each of these teams has a specific personnel grouping that they play more out of than just about any in the NFL. I'll try and find that tweet that had that broken down. I believe it was from Football Outsiders or maybe Pro Football Focus. But they have one specific formation, and you don't know what's coming from that formation, but it allows for the deception and allows you to do whatever you need to do. So that's the first thing that I think of. Some texts at 67011. For me, Matt, I think the Bears lack playoff experience. They're a young team who will grow into it. Is it as simple as playoff experience? I think it's more this, and this is echoed by a texter and a couple of them here, is that the quarterback has continuity with the system. Think about it. Brady and Josh McDaniels together forever. And even when McDaniels was gone, it was still Brady's offense. Breeze and Peyton are the model in all of the NFL for what is possible when you have a quarterback and a head coach who are offensively lockstep. It is the dream. It has been my dream for a long time that the Bears find that, and at least they're trying with Matt Nagy and Mitch Trubisky. Pat Mahomes is in his first year playing the offense, but he sat and watched that offense. He sat in meetings and learned that offense. He practiced it for an entire season. And Jared Goff, as you remember, last year saw a massive turnaround in Sean McVay's system and is now in year two. So, boy, doesn't that bode well for the coming year? Doesn't that bode well for Nagy Trubisky year number two? I spent all of last year when it was me and Danny Parkins doing middays, I spent the entire year saying, boy, you know what? Why can't the Bears be the Rams next year? Why can't they be the Rams next year? I was the world's foremost collector of long-form feature pieces on the Rams turnaround. There was a point there where I had a folder that had like 9 long articles about the Rams turnaround and how it happened. Because I'm like, this is the blueprint. This is it. And then they went out and they did it in the offseason. They got the young offensive mind ready for his first job as a head coach. They spent money in free agency to acquire targets for Mitchell Trubisky. They drafted. They fortified the offensive line. Who knew it? But they did it through the draft with James Daniels. They got him some weapons with Allen Robinson and Taylor Gabriel, and boom, they go out, and finally they listen to me. They kept their veteran defensive coordinator, just like Bum Phillips. They kept Vic Fangio, and they only got better on defense. The head coach didn't have to worry about the defense. He let Fangio be the CEO of the defense, like Bum Phillips, Wade Phillips, excuse me. Bum was his dad. Son of Bum is his Twitter account. Wade Phillips out there in L.A., and there you go. There's a division win and a playoff appearance. And now they were a first-round out just like the Rams were last year. So next year, NFC Championship or maybe beyond. Keep going. Keep following that model and give it year two with continuity in the system. 670-11 is how you text us. This texter says, a playoff-caliber kicker would be nice. It's huge in close games in January. Yeah, that's obvious, but that is 100% true. 100% true. Cody Parkey's done. You know that. He's not coming back. The way they talked about it at the closing press conference, the fact that Matt Nagy said, I thought it was an I thing and not really a we thing when he went on the Today Show. His willingness to talk about that. Ryan Pace's continued terminology. That's a point of focus for us. Will there be competition? Oh, definitely. Oh, definitely. I will be surprised if Cody Parkey is even here for camp, even though There's guaranteed money. You know, it's also a matter of the coach and his confidence as a play caller, his comfort level as a play caller. Andy Reid has been designing offense and calling plays for decades. Sean Payton was an offensive coordinator for a long time before he took over in New Orleans. Sean McVay has been a play caller for at least a year in Washington before he got the job with the Rams, and now in year two. And Josh McDaniels obviously been calling plays a long, long time. Matt Nagy called plays for the first time in the second half of last season. And this was his first full year. He's growing. He said it himself. He's telling you himself. So it is an offensive play caller with a lot of experience in big, big games. Because there's a stubbornness you have to get over. There's personal peccadilloes you have to get over. Some personal biases you might have to get over. When a team is not going to let you do what you want to do, you have to quickly, with gumption, change direction and attack in a way that you know will get them. And, you know, I thought Matt Nagy was slow on the trigger a couple different times during the course of the year. Slow on the trigger to really lean into the run, and maybe that's some personal stubbornness about the run. And he sort of acknowledged that with a laugh every once in a while in a post-game press conference. But also in the playoff game, when they were trying to commit to the run and they were also dinking and dunking and keeping things simple, I thought he was late to go downfield. Thought he was late to unleash Mitch and really go downfield and attack the Eagles in their secondary. And when he finally did, they got some production and Mitch's numbers jumped up and he made some really, really good throws. He was late to do it. Maybe he was scared because of Mitch. Maybe he just wanted to hold true and stick to the defense. But though that kind of learning curve for the play caller is another thing that I think these Bears are just barely missing. Tremendous year, an incredibly fun year, but we know why they're not playing today. They're not playing today because they don't have a playoff-caliber kicker. They're not playing today because their offense was not quite malleable enough to be able to run the ball with authority when they had to. And they're not playing today because their quarterback has not had enough continuity and time in the offensive system. Next year's going to be really fun, I hope. It's 670 The Score. We'll talk about these games, and we'll talk specifically also about those Rams and what they did from last year to this year. how they have evolved with my buddy Mark Willard from Fox Sports Radio out there in Los Angeles. We'll do that next, right here on 670 The Score. It's Matt Spiegel with you. Keep it right here.
Gurley gets the carry, bursts up the middle at the 30-yard line, turns left to the 20, and turns on the speed at the 10, across the 5, and he shrugs off a tackle from Awuzie into the end zone for the touchdown. Todd Gurley, 35 yards. The knee looking just fine as the Rams take a 19-7 lead.
Oh, yeah, the Rams, they're good, and they're playing today. The Bears are not. Did you guys notice that? If you noticed, the Bears are not playing today. Yeah, not here, down the street, Soldier Field, not down there in New Orleans, or really anywhere. But four teams are. Why are they there? Why are the Bears not? We got some reasons. Let's talk about some more and talk about the Rams a little bit, too. With my buddy Mark Willard, longtime radio juggernaut of a human being, and my God, he joins us right now on 670 The Score. He works every day for every station on the West Coast. I think that's true, Mark. Do I have that correct?
That is absolutely true, and in fact, today, of course, we will go nationwide, so the only question is, what bar are we going to try 43-yard field goals together? I'm looking forward to this later today. What are we doing?
That is the reduction of our football experience here in Chicago. And you know what? We made fun of that, and then it was just incredibly entertaining. It really was. It was a very good promotion. Mark Willard is heard every weekend on Fox Sports Radio nationally, and you hear him down in San Diego and sometimes in San Francisco. And, yeah, man, that's all we got. You know, and we were talking about what the difference is between the Bears and these four teams that are playing, and obviously they're the best four offenses in the NFL, Mark. But one of the big ones is continuity in the system. Mitch Trubisky has just finished up his first year with Matt Nagy. Everybody else is in at least year two, whether they were watching or playing. How big has that been for Jared Goff, especially, you think?
It's a narrative that started at the beginning of the playoffs that, you know, is always one of those narratives we talk about in sports, which is, you know, how much does experience matter? Sometimes you'd rather have the youth and exuberance. But I really started to buy in. You know, you saw week one in the playoffs, three quarterbacks who were playing their very first playoff game, and all three of them lost. And I realized that if Cody Parkey had made a field goal, that would have changed that narrative. And obviously since then, Patrick Mahomes came out in his first playoff game and had a very different result. But I do believe in the experience factor, and therefore, you know, Tom Brady and Drew Brees do have a little bit of a leg up today. Now, that said, you know, what you're asking with regard to Jared Goff and even Mahomes today, these are now guys that have been in their system for at least a couple of years. They now have that playoff experience under their belt. I think that was very big for Jared Goff. And then, obviously, with what the Rams have suddenly done, which is like this end-of-the-season morph into a running team, and C.J. Anderson off the scrap heap to become this massive weapon is a huge thing for Jared Goff. I know a lot of people talk about just what this means to be a powerful running team, but I think to your point, the greatest thing that this has done by Sean McVay is take a lot of the pressure off of his young quarterback. They're not asking him to go into the Superdome today and win the game by himself, which he's probably not capable of doing. And you know, now he doesn't have to. So that was another smart move by Sean McVay, and Goff looks, you know, all the more comfortable because of it.
You know, that offense now, and the Saints, as you mentioned, and last week the Patriots getting a ton of yards on a ton of carries from Sony Michel. Those three teams can all run the ball whenever they decide they want to. It's not just when they need to, because they can do that too, but they can also just choose to and just ram it down your throat. The Bears could not do that. The Chiefs don't really do that, but they haven't had to because they have a video game on offense. What happens today if they can't run the ball at all? Does it matter? Does it even matter if the Chiefs can run the ball today?
I think it does. I truly think it does. Although, you know, you're talking about master game planners here. Nobody's better than Belichick, but Andy Reid is right there. And I know about his playoff history, but they use their passing game as such an extension of the run game more than people realize. you think Chiefs, you think about the wild plays that Mahomes does downfield, and you forget about what they actually do probably 70% of the time when he lines up to throw the ball, and that is get rid of the ball immediately somewhere near the line of scrimmage. Put the ball in the hands of Damian Williams or Kelce or Tyreek Hill on some sort of a shovel pass or a bubble screen or whatever it may be. And so those things can almost act like an extension of the run game, and I think they do have an advantage over the Patriots on those types of plays. The question will be, though, Belichick will be ready for that. We always know the number one thought with him is he's going to take away what you do best. And if that's what he chooses to take away, then Kansas City is going to have some success in the run game. If they don't, believe it or not, I think this is a lower scoring game than what we've seen these teams do in the past. Now, that may mean everybody's only at 30 instead of 40 or 45, but if the Chiefs can't run the ball, then yeah, I'm gonna say the Patriots can have a really good chance to win the game today because I do think they'll run the ball.
It's Mark Willard of Extra 1360 and Fox Sports Radio joining me here. Mark, when I was in college, I was the center nose tackle play caller and coach of a flag football team that was an absolute stellar group. We were called the Mighty Sequoias in a nod to the trees from your part of the world. But our great play was called the inside reverse. I see every team in the NFL now running a version of this where you fake one direction and somehow there's a guy pulling the other direction. And it's just simple misdirection with a puller and like one runner, our fastest guy going the other direction. It is amazing. And it's really, it's the Chiefs, but it's everybody. Everybody's got a jet sweep and like four fake jet sweeps and five reverses and five inside reverses. Did you ever think we'd get to a point where that kind of gimmickry was just, it's a necessity in the NFL? It's pretty damn fun.
Well, but I mean, the first thought here is now we know where this offensive genius kind of started. And it sounds like it was your flag football team. And if you can combine that resume material with some connection to Sean McVay, then you too, Matt, can be a head football coach in the National Football League. So I want to give you props and good luck for that because those jobs are very, very high paying. But beyond that, you're right. Everybody now knows it's coming. It is fun to watch. And it's really just, I think, a growth in the freakish athleticism of some of the players we now see playing offensive football. And it makes me even think of a guy like Kyler Murray. At no point in our lives have we thought of going into an NFL draft and somebody be excited about drafting a 5'9" quarterback. But now you can, because now we can start to imagine how that actually will work at the NFL level. And so, yeah, you know it's coming, but it's kind of like Tyreek Hill's that type of an offensive player where you know it's coming, but what are you supposed to do to stop it? You know, they're just, on the defensive side of the football, with the new rules, combined with some of the athletes playing on the offensive side of the football, there's just not a whole lot you can do to catch up to these guys.
Yeah, they're just so fast, and if you time it well, and it's all timing and this like this massive 11-person ballet that's going on every time most of these offenses do their thing, there's just no way to counter it. I guess it reminds me a little of when everybody started running the zone read. And the math just didn't make sense for the defense. Like, they just found a way to block a defender without using an offensive player. And all of a sudden, the math just didn't make sense, and everybody could do it for a while. The defense caught up. Defense eventually figured out a way. I don't know. Are these defenses going to figure out a way to stop that kind of stuff? Or as long as people are fast enough and the ballet is well executed enough, is it stoppable?
You remember when the 49ers beat the Packers in the playoffs and Colin Kaepernick had that game where he rushed for about 180 yards, and that was the offseason narrative. Wow, there's no way to stop this. The math doesn't work. Well, it turns out in about 6 months, defenses learned how to stop it. Now, what's different now is that defenses aren't really allowed to play defense anymore. So my question is, I have no doubt that from a scheme standpoint, defenses will catch up, but with the new rules added in and the things that you now can't do, and therefore defenses are a little bit less aggressive by nature and on their heels by nature. And the athleticism of some of these quarterbacks, a Lamar Jackson and a Kyler Murray coming into the league, you do start to wonder, because you can scheme all you want, but you can't catch speed. There's nothing you can do to suddenly run like Tyreek Hill. And so I think it's a fair question you're asking, and I wonder if it might be different this time, and if it might take a little bit longer for defenses to kind of put a lid on what offenses are doing now.
That's well said, because the main way that they stop the zone read is that corner, that end guy, usually the defensive end, just beats the crap out of the quarterback. That's how you do it, no matter what, whether he hands off the ball or not, just beat the crap out of the quarterback. And most versions of that are not accepted these days in the NFL. I like the home teams today, Mark, and I want to know what you think. I gotta say, and this is the thought from Cubs GM Jed Hoyer, who's a big football better, and legally speaking, of course, but there's no team.
Everything's fine.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, the way the country's going, we're fine. There's no team that the home field matters less against than the New England Patriots here in their eighth consecutive AFC Championship game. They should be completely unaffected by Arrowhead and by a possible early lead and all of that. So, I'm still going Saints and Chiefs, and I think that's because that's what I want to see. But what do you think? What do you think happens today?
Yeah, I'm pretty close to being aligned with what you're saying. I do think the Saints. I think that they're going to win today. First and foremost, nothing would surprise me. There's no scenario that would surprise me. But I do think the Saints will win today. And I think the Chiefs have a little bit, like a very, very small edge. But I'll share with you a quote that I got from Danny Woodhead this week. Danny, who, of course, you know, spent a lot of time as a Patriot in his career. And he made picking games that include the Patriots in the playoffs very simple. He said, look, picking against a team that has the greatest quarterback of all time and the greatest coach of all time would kind of be like going to a bonfire and saying, instead of roasting marshmallows, let's roast our hands. Now, that was completely out of left field and feels like a very odd quote, but I get what he's saying, because I was one of the people that was all in on the Chargers last week, and I, like many, ended up looking very silly. It doesn't mean the Patriots never lose. And in fact, on the road in the playoffs, they often do. But to predict that they won't is just a losing bet. It just is. I mean, I don't know what the percentage is of Patriots playoff games and their wins. It feels like about 80%. And so why it doesn't mean they will win, but why would we pick against it? So if there's one home team that I would take pause with, it is the Kansas City Chiefs. You got a young quarterback going against Bill Belichick, and that's not easy.
Well, the first thought is never go to a bonfire with Danny Woodhead. Just never.
It's a really, really well said. Yes, thank you.
Mark, what is Ballers with Babies, the podcast? What is the niche that you have found as people can find you at Mark_T_Willard on Twitter, and Ballers with Babies is the podcast?
I love you for bringing it up, and thank you for mentioning the most annoying Twitter handle in all of social media. It belongs to me. It is the double underscore, and it is horrible. I make you use the shift key twice, and it's terrible, but that's my way of saying, if you're going to follow me, you really want to follow me. And those are the kind of followers I want. But Ballers with Babies is my podcast. It's been out for about a year, and it's been absolutely so much fun, because we bring on some of the biggest names in sports. And instead of asking them, you know, ridiculous questions like you hear every week, like how important was that win, and having them go, it was very important. And you're like, great, that was super interesting. Instead of that, we talk to them really about themselves, the blend of their life professionally with their family life, their upbringing. How did they become who they are? What do they do when the game is over and they go home? What do they do in the off season? What are their business interests? It's basically questions you've never heard them answer before. And it's in all the places that you find your podcasts, and iTunes and iHeart or wherever you find Stitcher. It's all over there. So I would love it if you would check it out. Charlie Hoffman, PGA Tour player, is on this week. Will Allen, the former Steeler, is on next week. He's got some really good Antonio Brown and Steeler nuggets. So, thank you for bringing it up. That's what it is.
You got it. You got it, Mark. The callers really appreciate the face dialing. That's been a really nice part of the interview. It had a lot of nice face dials, and that's just the kind of bonus I expect from you. So do it next time too, okay?
No question about it. We will do that. We will do that each and every time when you have these faces for radio that we do. It would be a crime to not share them.
Mark, thanks, man. Great talking to you. Enjoy your shift today on Fox Sports Radio. Thanks, brother.
Okay, buddy. Anytime.
You got it. That's Mark Willard from Fox Sports Radio and Extra 1360 in San Diego. So there you have it as we talk about these games and what these teams have that that the Bears do not. A few more minutes left in the show. We have time to take your phone calls at 312-644-6767. Let's talk about these championship games. If you have a thought that we did not get to on what these teams have that the Bears do not, we can do that. And on a day where there's probably impartiality, football impartiality in your home, I'm wondering who are the most root-worthy figures in these games today? Among coaches, among quarterbacks, or other players? Who are the guys you're like, man, I want that dude to go to a Super Bowl. I am ready to see that dude in a Super Bowl. I got a couple, and I'm wondering who would be on that list for you. So dial it up and get involved. 312-644-6767. It's Matt Spiegel live from the Cubs convention right here on 670 The Score, where our coverage continues to be brought to you by Tito's Handmade Vodka, America's original craft vodka. Keep it here on 670 The Score.
Ready? What's that?
They're going to throw from Michael Thomas. Coming next. It's going to be a touchdown. Michael Thomas doing it. Takes the lead.
That highlight courtesy of Fox Sports TV. That is Kevin Burkhardt with the call. Michael Thomas is one of the three or four best wide receivers in the NFL. If I am drafting wide receivers and I get anyone in the entire league, I'm taking DeAndre Hopkins. That's me. I think his ballet with his feet on the sidelines and in the end zone is better than anybody. I think his hands are better than anybody. He didn't drop a ball all year, right? It was Hopkins at zero drops? Eli, you could look that up if you get a second. I believe he was. Give me Hopkins. Michael Thomas is right there, along with Antonio Brown. Tyreek Hill, although there's the genius of that offense, and Mahomes has made Tyreek Hill look even better. But give me Hopkins first, and then Michael Thomas might be second. He might be. 670 The Score is where you are. Both the AFC Championship and the NFC Championship will be on The Score later on today. The bottom of the hour, by the way, was brought to you by Northwestern Football. Join Coach Fitz in the Big Ten West Division and Holiday Bowl champions at Ryan Field this fall when they host Ohio State, Iowa, and more. Season tickets are on sale now at nusports.com. So what do these teams have that the Bears do not have? We talked a bunch about it in the first part of the hour, and I'd mentioned a malleable offense that can run the ball when they must, from game plan to final gun. A quarterback with a lot of continuity in the offensive system. These are things that the Bears don't have. A play caller who has been doing it for longer than just a year and change. And here's one that I think is pretty good from a texter, a three-down back. I mean, New Orleans can use either Ingram or Alvin Kamara for all three downs. Each of them can catch, right? Sony Michel has been getting a lot of run as a runner. It can be used for all three downs to catch everything. Gurley, obviously, is maybe the best load running back and three down back. And it was Kareem Hunt in Kansas City, and now it's Damien Williams, and they predominantly lean on one guy. And what does that do? That gives you the flexibility for every play to be whatever it needs to be with that guy, and formation does not give up who's going to get the ball. Tariq Cohen's not an every down back. Jordan Howard is not an every down back. I think Jordan Howard will be here next year as part of the running back mix. I think his value is best taken advantage of by him being here on the tail end of that contract. But, oh, yes, they're going to go out and find themselves a three-down running back. They absolutely will. It might be Kareem Hunt. It sure felt like a trial balloon that they floated at the press conference when they answered all those questions about it as comfortably as they had. Matt Nagy said he had just talked to him. Ryan Pace certainly left it open because Matt Nagy knows him. And if anybody hasn't had a chance, read the piece about Andy Reid written by Kent Babb of the Washington Post, who used to be with the Kansas City Star. And it details Andy Reid's trials with his children and with his own life, really. You know, I know there are some regrets in there about what kind of dad he was able to be, what kind of coach he was able to be. It's an incredible piece, but it also gives you a big window as to why he believes in second chances and why Matt Nagy, I think, believes in second chances. So don't be surprised if there is conversation between Kareem Hunt and the Bears this coming offseason. Let's go to the phone lines before we hit the texts and wrap it up from the Cubs convention here on 670 The Score. Mitch is in East Lansing, New Jersey, and is now on The Score with me, Matt Spiegel. What's up, Mitch? How are you?
Good. How's it going? Thanks for taking my call.
Curse.
I want to see the Pops at Kansas City. They haven't had, you know, he's the first winning quarterback they drafted since Len Dawson, so I love to see Kansas City tie New England. And I think the Rams are going to win it all. Something that the Bears look at, they go three deep in wide receivers. I know they're going to have Cooper Kupp. He might be their best wide receiver. He's out till at least next year. They're good at tight ends. And like you said, they have two, all these teams seem to have two starting running backs sharing the duties. You know, it's a tough position. You know, you can hit them anywhere. That's why their careers are so short. Yeah, Cohen's not an everyday back, like you said. I still like Jordan Howard, but you got to have two good running backs, and all these teams seem to have it. And I think I think the Rams even have better set of running backs because they have Justin Davis and Kelly, which I think they should get a start with some team in the future. They're not going to overtake Gurley, that's for sure.
All right, thank you, Mitch, for the call. Yeah, C.J. Anderson is the guy who all of a sudden is now a complimentary back, and they can't stop using him. And they both got over 100 yards last week, loads and loads of yards for the Rams last week out of the running game. Appreciate the call. I don't think Jordan Howard unfortunately is an every down back for this system. I do not believe that he is. Who are you rooting for? Who is the most root worthy figure in these games today, with probable impartiality on your couch? West Loop Tom says, Eastern Illinois, baby, I'm picking McVay to win. He's going with Sean McVay. This texter speaks, I normally root against visor bags, but both guys will be sporting the indoor visor look in New Orleans. Peyton seems like a tool, even though he went to EIU. That's West Loop Tom. Sorry about that. So I'm going McVay to win. So visor bags. You know, I used to think guys with visors were just kind of inherently baggish. But I don't know. I mean, maybe I've softened on that stance. Is it age? Is it wisdom? You know, is it kindness that has crept into me? I decided not to hate people based on their headwear. That's something that I feel pretty good about. This is from Bubba in Pekin. I'm rooting for Gronk to have a huge game so we can spike the ball, from Bubba in Pekin. This texture says Eric Berry. He's rooting for Eric Berry of the Kansas City Chiefs, a tremendous story, who has just seemingly a very, very good dude, seemingly, who's come back from cancer and an Achilles injury from last year as well, and is now out there trying to do his thing. Who is the most root-worthy person out there for me? I'll give you a couple. One is Andy Reid because he's never won one. I want Andy Reid to win one. And again, that story from Kent Babb has a good chance of making you really empathize and feel for Andy Reid. So I want Andy Reid to get one, and I know he already has one, but Drew Brees did one of the coolest things I have ever seen an athlete do this year. You guys know what Drew Brees did this year when he broke the all-time passing yardage record? Drew Brees this year, when he broke the record, worked with the Saints PR staff and sent 200 of his past and present wide receivers, offensive linemen, coaches, and mentors commemorative footballs and letters. And a bunch of them posted them online. There's one from Mike Carney, a game ball presented to Mike Carney. It's got a picture of Brees in commemoration of Drew Brees breaking the all-time career passing yards record. And it says, Mike Carney, 36 receptions, 188 yards. So they did the math, figured out every single person who had helped him break that record, and took the time to design and send individualized game balls and letters to his former teammates and coaches. I want to personally thank you for everything you did to be a part of the record-setting moment. I thought that was awesome. So I'm cool with Drew Brees getting back for one more. It also fits the game I want to see, which is Kansas City and New Orleans. Thanks to everybody who helped so much out here at the Cubs convention. Thank you to Brian Gertsch, who directs the video stream and does it well at watch670thescore.com. Thank you to Shane Reardon. Thank you to Ray on the sound for a very comfortable broadcast today. Thank you to our guest today, Bruce Levine, for swinging by. Kyle Hendricks, the Cubs starting pitcher. And thank you to Mark Willard, my guy from Fox Sports Radio out there in L.A. Thank you to the Cubs for having us here. Thank you to Tito's Handmade Vodka, America's original craft vodka, for sponsoring the Score's coverage live right here from the Cubs convention at the Sheraton. CBS Sports Radio is next. And remember, we've got both the NFC Championship game and the AFC Championship game on 670 The Score. Eli Hershkovich, great job back at the studio. Thanks for everything you do. Have a great Sunday, everybody. It's Matt Spiegel. Talk to you soon next Saturday morning on Inside the Clubhouse with me and Bruce Levine at 9 o'clock.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.